Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and there he is, the almighty Joe DiCapita.
I don't know about the almighty part. I'm a little under the weather right now.
Because you're usually right next to me, so again, now there you are remotely, all remotely, Joe DiCapita. I was thinking what's funny is I could put your window on the other side of me, and I could say, There he is on my blind side, Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back. We are ready to go here to give you guys some more dosage of that NFL knowledge and talk that we like to do every single week. Listen, you can find us and many more podcasts like us, political, entertainment, sports, you name it. Go head over to grumblingsmedia.com. Head over there. There's a ton of variety to go look at. See what you're interested in, follow, whatever. Or head over to YouTube. Help us out. It helps us out immensely. Every time you guys hit the subscribe button, hit the thumbs up, or comment down below, and even share it. It definitely helps us growing as a channel, and we are growing exponentially. We are taking off. We are 3,000-plus subscriptions right now and soaring high. Also, you can head over to rumble.com and check us out there, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, that's right, Joe. And just like the first couple of weeks, week three did not disappoint, Joe. I know the picks were rough, but a lot of different upsets and some close ones, but then some crazy blowouts too, Joe. So we're going to cover a few of those here and get into deeper detail with some of the other some of them a little more in depth. Let's start off, I guess, with, well, I'm not going to talk about last Thursday's game because the Jets, I thought we were going to handle that one anyways. But let's talk about my football Giants. How about that? We pick against the Giants because it's a safe bet because we're not sure again. And there we go. The Giants look pretty good here defensively. They get a bunch of sacks here. The offense, getting it going, Malik Nabers, there you go. That was the key to this offense here, that over-the-top type of guy to where Daniel Jones can kind of just entrust him, throw the ball up, and he knows he's going to get those 50-50 balls most of the time here. And he's showing his athleticism, yards after catch, all around, but he's their go-to guy. And let me tell you, again, I talked about Devin Singletary in the preseason. I know he's not, a pro bowler and this and that, but I knew he would run well in this offense, and he is so far, except for the two turnovers he had that made these games closer than they should have and actually failed them last week or the week before last. But if he can secure that football, he looks pretty good on the offensive side, though, too. But is this more of a story about what's going on with Cleveland?
I think it's a tale of both halves, right? Like the Giants, they looked a lot better, let's just say, against the Cleveland Browns, but how could you not with how Cleveland's offense anyway, and defense for that matter, it's just simply struggling. So Cleveland's still trying to iron some things out. The Deshaun Watson still is not Deshaun Watson, and afraid to say this, but it just doesn't really look good for him. He's not getting any better week to week like we initially thought, and something has to change. I don't know if it's the play calling that's just not fitting into him. Like it's not weapons. They got weapons. The defense is lacking too, so that's also a part of it. But the Giants, they took a step forward playing Cleveland. Maybe that's kind of like the confidence booster that the Giants needed, was they just needed one game to go right for them, one game to like kind of iron everything out. Like offensively, everything worked. Daniel Jones looked good. You know what I mean? Malik Nabers had one hell of a day. So, and the defense capitalized on against Cleveland. Now, that all being said, it's Cleveland. So, we need to see the Giants get tested as they go into this, the rest of the season that they're going to play. We'll definitely see them get tested with others like Cowboys, which is coming up this week.
Yeah.
That's going to be a test. And knock the Cowboys all you want, but they've faced some pretty stiff competition. Now this is going to be a testing ground for both teams. Are the Cowboys really failing because they're just not playing up to par? Mm-hmm. Or are the Giants starting to figure things out and maybe they're on the way up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It stinks because, again, if the Giants only had last week's win against the Commanders, if the kicker was healthy, now you're talking about you just strung two together and you're 2-1, and now you're facing a tough Cowboys team to where if you, you know, lose that game, you're just, you know, sitting at 500 here, and it's not so bad. So now you get this victory, you go in against the Cowboys. Cowboys now, you know, in the last two games have lost both of them and, you know, kind of embarrassed in both of them too as well. And now they're looking for payback finally. And here they go. What a team to come here in the Giants, which they like to beat up on quite frequently. But who knows? Maybe this Dallas team is in disarray here, and the Giants kind of got them where they want them to be, to where, you know, they're frustrated, things like that. Can't get the running game going at all. You know, and you can see the difference because right now, currently, Dak Prescott leads the NFL in pass attempts and passing yards. So he's trying to do, you know, a lot of it here in the passing game to try and get things going, get that offense going, because they haven't been able to be successful running. So, I mean, this Thursday night's game, I think it's going to be a close one, and it should be exciting to watch. And really, it'll tell you, like you said, kind of what these two teams are going to be. You know what I mean? Yeah. The Giants are trending upwards. Are they going to be able to beat the Cowboys? And then if the Cowboys lose now three straight, you know, and especially down to the Giants who are just trying to get things back on track, the Cowboys, you know, got to look at themselves differently and, you know, make some changes maybe.
Yeah, so Micah Parsons, you know, he's been very vocal out in the public, you know, doing interviews and everything. He just said, he's like, well, yeah, you know, we're not doing well. We're humbled. That's the term he used. We're very humbled right now. Well, Micah, something's got to change. Like, we haven't seen enough from the defense. Obviously, the Cowboys have to throw the ball a lot more because they're always behind, and they don't have a running game. So the running game is lacking because of the talent that they have. It's great. Okay. Nostalgia signing. They signed Ezekiel Elliott. He comes back. But the Cowboys fans even knew, like, oh, yeah, we're getting Zeke back. That's cool. But he's not Tony Pollard. He's not any one of these other running backs that they couldn't even afford. I'm not blaming the Cowboys. Listen, finances are tough right now. So they couldn't unload money and bring in a different running back or even keep Tony. So going forward, it's going to be tough for them. This whole season is going to be a very rough season. And if anything, they have to get out ahead early. That's going to be the only saving grace for this Cowboys team, is the offense got to jump ahead early and stay ahead throughout the game. They basically got to take a page out of the Chiefs playbook like 3 years ago, where they just outscored people. They didn't have to worry about their defense. Their defense was decent, but they didn't have to worry about it. So we'll see. I mean, the Giants too, you know, it's a sample size. So, like, regardless of who wins and loses this game, we're going to have two different opinions and two different ideas of thought for each team going forward. Because we're taking this week to week to week with all these teams, because every single week so far this season has taught us nothing but shock and awe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And again, Cleveland, when you get back to the Giants game, it just seemed like Deshaun Watson was just pressured a lot here, and they really are.
The line's terrible.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the thing that hasn't been able to get changed since, you know, basically, you know, for the last couple of seasons here, you know, at least.
Well, yeah, and they also just lost two starting offensive linemen.
Yes.
In that game.
Yep. Yes.
So exactly. Wyatt Teller is one of them. Wyatt Teller is going to be out for the next 4 weeks. He's on short-term IR. Like. Mm-hmm. This is not good for Cleveland. It's not looking good. They could find themselves very well on the bottom of this division. Like, we thought highly of Cleveland. Why wouldn't you? Because with that defense returning, with the offense that you're expecting to be much better, but nothing's been working out.
Right. Yep, absolutely. So there's going to be questions throughout the season for Cleveland and see what they can do. Giants, again, now, it's funny, you look at that division, them and the Cowboys now sitting there at 1-2 at the bottom. Who would have thunk it here?
And the Commanders.
The Commanders are up pretty good. Yeah, absolutely, you know.
Technically leading the division right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what a difference between if you look at now Dan Quinn, head coach of the Commanders, and how that team's looking, and now the Dallas Cowboys and that defense under Mike Zimmer, and the difference. I mean, this defense right now for the Cowboys is ranked 30th in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. points forward and 28th and yards altogether. And you could see the difference also as well. They're just allowing points and allowing teams to just go all out on them. Absolutely. And they're last against the yards after a hit, you know, for the rushing game. So they're pretty much dead last in everything rushing except for attempts. So running people figured out they could run the ball. So what's good for the Giants moving forward, at least for them, this Singletary and those guys have been able to move the ball in the running, you know, running game. And I've noticed this season there's a lot of rushing going on, and it seems like teams have valued that running attack better and kind of switched it up here, and they've noticed what defenses have been doing it to change up to try and stop some of the big passing offenses that they've turned to the run game to grind things out and get more balanced again.
Well, you're seeing a trend being set this season. A lot. Listen, we've devalued running backs for far too long, and they shouldn't be devalued, but they are. That's the necessary evil of the NFL right now. But this year, you're seeing a lot of teams going to the run heavy, like a lot of teams, even the teams that we historically were just used to them throwing the ball often. The Chiefs are now implementing like a balanced offense now. You know, you got the Saints. Last week, the Saints didn't throw the ball hardly at all. Mm-hmm. They tried to run with Alvin Kamara all game long. It just wasn't working, but they still stuck with it anyway. The Raiders were also guilty of that, trying to run when it didn't work. So it's like you're seeing numerous amount of teams every single week try to sustain the run, and just not everybody can do it. It's that simple. But we're still seeing a very high value in the running offenses throughout the league. No question about it.
Mm-hmm. Sticking with the Cowboys quick before we move on. Again, playing at home, back-to-back games at home. They lose both. They get demolished. I know the game ended up getting closer. They did get that onside kick and kind of made it a tight one for Baltimore. But we've seen this time and time again with Baltimore, though, too. It seems like they get that lead in the second half. And Lamar Jackson, you know, brought it up even in halftime in the locker room to his guys. Hey, let's go out there and finish now, because that's the thing. That's one issue that Baltimore does have is finishing games. We saw it last year in the playoffs, too, against the Chiefs. I mean, come on, man. These guys have been known to do this, and they almost let this one squeak out, you know, and let the Cowboys back in this one. But overall, if you watch the game, you know that Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens really controlled the pace of this game and really grinded out a win. And finally, by using Derrick Henry, finally has his coming out party. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson was very minimal. I mean, he had just barely over 100 something yards, you know, and not, you know, asked a whole lot, you know what I mean? Not a lot of pass attempts. You know, he had a very high completion percentage because of, I think it was like 77, 78 or something or other. So run the ball, and it was effective. And like we said earlier about the Cowboys and this defense, it seems like, again, they're last in the league that anybody can run on. And if you got Derrick Henry, more power to you, brother. Do you roll it down, give him the rock? And he was burying these guys and really took it to the Cowboys. So this week they are looking to move forward here, but what about the Baltimore Ravens finally squeaking out a win here?
Yeah, I mean, and here's the thing. Did the Cowboys not get the memo? Like, how to beat Baltimore? It's been the first 2 weeks. You stop the run. You do whatever it takes. Stop the run and then make Dak throw and capitalize on them being one-dimensional. You know what I mean? That's been the deal. That's how you beat them. And their offense struggles immensely. If you're able to stop that run game, they're lost. They don't have another option, because when it comes time for Lamar to just throw the ball, he's not going to hit everybody. He overthrows people. He's not able to hit the tight windows that's necessary for him to help move the team down the field. So, man, Cowboys just like, I don't know. I don't know what their game plan was on defense. It wasn't stopping the run, though, because we saw Derrick Henry run at will. He was running through people. I mean, you just had one hell of a day. And then Lamar did what was necessary to do for him. Like, he didn't have to throw for 250 passing yards and three touchdowns. Like, he just did what was necessary. And this is the bottom line for Baltimore going forward. Continue what you've built now. Run Derrick Henry, establish the run, and do it too much, because when teams are able to stop you, it limits what your offense can create out of that. So for Lamar, hit Mark. I didn't see Mark Andrews enough. Honestly, we debated about that last week, how yeah. Mark Andrews needs to be more involved. He was involved, but not. I want to see more. Isaiah Likely and Andrews, like, you start putting both those tight ends out there and running routes, defenses won't have an answer for it. So capitalize on what you're doing right now and just kind of get better at moving forward. Cowboys, man, I mean, I don't know. I'm not hitting the panic button just yet because it's only week three, but we'll see how, when the Cowboys are going to face the Giants, we'll see how both clubs match up.
Yeah, and again, I don't think Jerry Jones is going to be very happy if they do lose to the Giants again, because, again, they've owned them for a very long time. And the way the team looks right now, I think heads are going to start rolling. You know, something – we know that they locked up their key player. Mike McCarthy's job is not safe. I would say Mike Zimmer's job isn't even safe right now either, you know, because we've seen –
If you're gonna get rid of Mike, you're gonna get rid of the staff. So,
Well, I'm just wondering, even if the defense is so bad, all of a sudden they hack Zimmer first, even just like that, and figure something else out.
Well, what are you gonna do?
Then go with him. Oh, I know, like, I get you, but
there's. I'm just saying that there's fan bases out there right now that are losing their minds. Talk about overreaction. There's fan bases with the Saints now. Oh, we lost against the Eagles. Sky's falling. The Raiders are like, oh, we couldn't do anything on offense. Get rid of Gardner Minshew. Like, everybody's going crazy, and it's so chaotic that everybody's overreacting just because, dude, we are so early in the season, guys. Like, everybody's losing their minds. They want to fire the offensive coordinator for the Raiders now, like the fan base. It's just ludicrous.
Oh,
ridiculous.
Wow.
Okay, you can fire the offensive coordinator, but who are you giving the playbook to? It's not Antonio Pierce. He's a defensive-minded guy.
Yes.
Like, hey, Waterboy, come here. You can do better, right? Here, just call, pick a play. No team is going to fire their coordinator right now. It's so early in the season. It wouldn't make any sense. You're not changing really anything. Because even if you fire your coordinator, guess what? The defense or offense doesn't change. It's just someone different calling different plays in different situations. That's it.
Yeah.
So, not necessarily. Yeah, not necessarily a recipe for success. So, I mean, people need to chill out. I understand people are frustrated because there's high expectations out there for a lot of teams. And across the board in the NFL, there's been so many surprises this early in the season that everybody's taken back and doesn't know what to make of this season yet. You know? And it's hard to pick and choose who really is the really good teams. Like, we know teams have good personnel, but sometimes they're just not playing like it. So, I mean, it's hard to figure out so far, but we'll get an answer the farther down the season we go.
Yeah, most definitely, Joe. All right, so let's move on to one of the other games now that was a little lopsided too as well, but I think some people have got to be like, what's going on? Is this team for real? You know, and it's the Minnesota Vikings and what they did to Houston. What do you think of that game and how that played out?
Not surprised. I picked the Vikings to win it. I mean, I love what Sam Darnold's doing. Sam Darnold, I told everybody before the season started, I'm like, keep your eye on Sam Darnold. And everybody laughed, and everybody was making jokes, and like, oh, he sucks, this, that, and the other thing. Well, guess what? He got with the right support system. The coaching staff is correct. The offense fits him to a T, and Kevin O'Connell loves Sam Darnold. Like, they hit it off right from jump. And it shows on the football field. The chemistry he's built with Justin Jefferson and soon to be Jordan Addison is going to be coming off of the injury designation. He'll be playing too. So this offense, as scary as it is right now, with just Jefferson pretty much out there and then other receivers like Jalen Naylor, who's making a name for himself, now you add Addison into that lineup, it's going to get a lot tougher for defenses to combat. So not surprised. But also, on the flip side of things, for the Texans, man, that they have a terrible game. Like, C.J. Stroud had a bad game. The whole team, offensively, defensively, special teams, nothing went right for Houston against Minnesota. Minnesota's been on this kind of hot streak so far through 3 weeks. Let's see if they can continue that. But right now, I wouldn't panic on either team, but I'm also not surprised where the teams are at right now.
Yeah, definitely. Again, I think they were just kind of Houston, I don't know, again, just shell-shocked, I guess, you know, that this team came out like this. You know, they're expecting, I think still people did, you know, even the teams, I think, don't expect a whole lot of Sam Darnold, you know, to do something like this to him. But, again,
watch the first 2 weeks.
I know, and it is funny, though, too, because, like you said, it's like a lot of it is Justin Jefferson, and some of the plays that you saw, he was just wide open in the zone and things like that. And you're like, how do you not double in this guy? That's got to be your main objective, take him out of the game, you know, not physically. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, trying, you know, double coverage, something to eliminate him being a threat and then put it all on Sam Darnold. And Houston just wasn't able to do that.
No, and it's because they were double teaming. But I'm telling you right now, he's such a gifted receiver, he just finds the holes in the defense. And that's really what it is. Like, when you play zone, everybody wishes they could play man. You know, everybody wishes they had the best corners out there and they could afford to play man and stay with guys like that. But the reality of the NFL is there's always advantages and disadvantages. You got to pick and choose your battles. When you face a guy like Justin Jefferson, you already know you're going against one of the best in the league. So, yeah, you can slide coverage over to his side. You can double team him up and down the field. But eventually, he's going to get his catches because he's just that good. So until you can equal that level of play on the defensive end and kind of at least slow him down, man, he had another great day. So it's like now you're going to get Jordan Addison coming soon. I don't know if it's this week, but it seems like if it's not this week, definitely next week he'll be back. Listen, the Vikings shocked me more, not offensively, but defense.
The defense
to me is like they kind of retooled that defensive line. They added a couple new DNs, and it seemed to work really well. Obviously, the funny thing about this whole game is the fact that basically the Texans and the Vikings traded DNs. Daniel Hunter is on the Texans, and Greenwood is now on the Vikings. They both made their splash plays. They both were menaces all game. But, man, two great teams went up against each other. Just one was the victor this time. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we get closer into the postseason, how this all shakes out. And we might have some surprise wins, just like so far in week three, up to week three. We might have some surprise wins in the playoffs.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely, Joe, with the way it's panning out and some of these players, the way they're playing. Pittsburgh and the Chargers, Pittsburgh's defense, we talked about this last week on the Football on the No Show with a bunch of the people out in the chat. By the way, if anybody, when you're out there listening, feel free to chime in the chat, whether it be about any of these games or whatever you want to, post a question, we will answer it or a comment.
Right.
And they brought up about which defense would perform better in this game. And it was funny, it was when I was thinking about it, you know, because, again, I'm like, well, I think Pittsburgh's defense will do better. But I think overall, in a sense, the Chargers will win the game. So I guess, you know, when I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, I guess then the Chargers, I guess, end up being better in that sense. Well, neither of it happened, you know, it ended up being the Pittsburgh still. Yes, the defense was better, and that was the deciding factor. And Justin Herbert goes out of the game early, too, injured. And then Taylor Heineke was just, you know, a tackle dummy after that.
Yeah, you know, when you lose your starting quarterback, I don't care what point, towards the end of the game, halftime, whatever, beginning of the game, it's just really hard to kind of keep that flow of things on the offense. It's really hard to execute as well as you did because you have a backup quarterback coming in and which didn't get many first team reps, if any, during the week of practice. So he's basically coming in cold and you're hoping that he could drum up something. Now, Heineke did well enough to like make a couple of completed catches, did some nice things, but I'll tell you right now, the offensive line looked lost towards the end of that game. They just didn't – it almost seemed like they didn't game plan enough against T.J. Watt to, like, make sure he was a non-factor or at least slow him down. So that was, like, one glaring concern for me watching this game is they struggled with that. Not only that, but then they also lost not just Herbert, but Joe Alt, Seems like he's going to be missed in some significant times. Their rookie right tackle. So that's a huge loss. So you got two key guys on this offense that are going to be gone. We don't know the duration of the time just yet, but it's going to be for a few weeks. It's going to be. So Herbert might be sooner than Alt, but things aren't looking good for the L.A. Chargers.
Yeah, definitely, because, again, that was the key, and we always talked about this. Yes, they're going to attempt to try and run, but then if they're not effective, you've got Justin Herbert, and now you don't. So, I mean, that's a key factor because you also don't have the weapons that he did, you know, last year either. So it's going to be a rough outing now for a while, I think, for these Los Angeles Chargers here.
Yeah,
and Pittsburgh, more thing, what a surprise here.
Yeah. Yep, one more thing that I want to point out for the Chargers, too, is that now that they've lost Herbert, next week, there's no fear at the quarterback position. Like, if Heineke's starting, you don't have to be super conservative in your defense now. Now you can load the box because you know Jim Harbaugh wants to run the ball. We're going to load this box. We're going to stuff this run. We're going to make Taylor Heineke, right? It's Taylor?
Yeah, Taylor, yep.
Taylor Heineke, we're going to make him throw the ball and beat us. If he beats us throwing, kudos to you guys. But we're going to put all the pressure on him.
Absolutely. And Joe, you know, moving on, you know, from, well, actually, let's bring up the Pittsburgh Steelers now here, too. With the way they've been winning here, it's funny how Mike Tomlin does this, too. You know, despite staying, you know, relevant with them winning still this and that, but not winning a championship. People have talked about maybe it's time for him to go, but look at what he still is able to do. I mean, they still win despite anything. You know, Justin Fields in there, they're able to just get the, you know, play it safe, get the ball around, but he performed better in this game. So where people are going to pose that question again, they're like, do you keep him in or do you make the switch when Russell Wilson's ready to go?
100% you make the switch to Russell Wilson. He was brought in to be the starter. He was listed as the starter going into week one until they're like, well, we don't feel comfortable in playing, so Fields it is. Fields has only been there because Russell Wilson can't go. It hasn't been like, oh, he beat Russell Wilson out. No, he did not. Wait until you see the difference in the offense when Russell Wilson's in there. Guy's not completely washed up. He's lost a little bit, but he still can execute. He can still make plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So when Russell Wilson gets there, you're going to see a more efficient offense. I feel like because we've seen numerous times, whether it be Fields in Chicago or Fields in Pittsburgh right now early into the season, he holds on to the ball too much. He doesn't trust himself. And then he starts running around and trying to find a way to run down the football field, much like what Caleb Williams is doing. Caleb Williams has a stronger arm. Caleb Williams has more talent than Fields. But you're seeing from Fields, like, this dude's a veteran at this point. He should be getting better and better and better, and he's not. He's the same. So I 100% think that as soon as Russell Wilson is ready to go, he's going to be the starter. My hope was that it was going to be this week, but Mike Tomlin has said himself he's not going to name a starter. He's going to wait till it gets to the latter part of the week, and then he'll make his decision. It really does come down if Wilson is healthy enough. If he's healthy enough, be prepared to see him out there on Sunday.
Yep, definitely there. Now, you brought up Caleb Williams again. A lot of people, especially Stephen A., but God bless Stephen A., you know, you stick to what you know, and it's definitely not football. But he says, again, he's like maybe ready to call out Caleb Williams a bust. We know what our opinion is on Caleb Williams now. They have a long road ahead, and next week they've got the Rams, too. It's going to be tough for these guys. But is this just learning curve here for Caleb Williams here? Will they eventually get it? Or, you know, is this what you get?
It's too early. I mean, he's still got to develop, guys. Like, quarterbacks need 2 to 3 years to really find out if they're going to make it or break it in this league. Yes, there's signs right now that you're seeing from Caleb that does not give you confidence at all. But, I mean, honestly, I wasn't confident in him coming into the NFL to kind of take over a team and run with it right away. He needs to develop his skills at this level. This level is a much bigger step than I think he anticipated. I thought that he might be able to come in and he was going to prove to everybody like, hey, no, I was the real deal. I can come in. I can compete at this level. It's no problem. But yeah, you might have a better situation that you landed in Chicago. You got all these receivers. That's nice. You got a better offensive line, new quarter, a new running back than DeAndre Swift, but you're not executing. You can't like he's struggling to throw over 100 yards. He did this past week, but man, it doesn't look good. And we're seeing some of the negative flashes that we saw in college creep up in the NFL. First week, he just flat out held the ball for like, was it just above 4.5 seconds before he would throw the ball or run? And that was a no-no. Second week, we saw him get much better in his release point, just not holding onto the ball. It was like 2-point-something seconds where he's getting it out quicker. And that's something that you really wanted to see. I think they game planned that. And then now, week three, you know, you're seeing some of these poor decision making. You're seeing him still turn the ball over. He's been doing that for 3 weeks now. And it really cripples this offense. They're not being able to move the ball. There's no rhythm. There's no, I don't even know if the game plan is correct. Like, I just don't understand. It can't be just about execution. These guys have been practicing this. Caleb's been, you know, getting the chemistry down with all these receivers. So to me, for Caleb going forward, I'm not going to overreact and say he's an absolute bust right now. It's just way too early. This guy still needs time to develop. But so far, the early indicators are is that we were right all along.
Yeah, yeah. And again, he's like got that. Like I said, when we were talking in the preseason or even after draft or even during draft, I would even say to go that far back. You know, I said he looks like Mahomes without the Mahomes flash, without the talent kind of there in a sense. You know what I mean? You could see the things that he does, like the mannerisms, like in a sense. You know, the running around, the escapability a little bit here and there, but doesn't have that over the top play ability. You know what I mean? Kind of that I've seen. You know, well, maybe he does have it in him, but I haven't seen it.
I think he's shown glimpses of it. He definitely has. I've been really concentrating on Caleb because I want to make sure that I'm right.
Yep. Yeah, no, I get it.
But at the same time, there's been moments where he would escape somehow, make the offensive line look stupid, get out of the pocket, and then just throw a bullet 20 yards down the field to a guy that's running towards the sideline. Like, I've seen him make these, like, really good plays, or even, like, a toss over a defender as he's running up to the line of scrimmage. He gets the defense to creep up, and then he just kind of lobs it over top of him. I've seen small amounts of plays where it's like, oh, snap, that was a really nice play. I got to give it to him. But overall, he's not he needs to do more as a quarterback in the pocket to show and prove defenses out there that, hey, I'm not just a guy like Mahomes. I'm not just a guy that's going to run around with my head cut off until I make a play happen for a lot of the times. Yes, he's got a lot to learn. We'll see if he gets better as the season goes. But as of right now, early indication, we're just going to say that, like, he's not who everybody thought he was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. One other game let's talk about here. Let's talk about your game, I guess, here with the Las Vegas Raiders here.
The Red Rifle, baby.
Yeah, Andy Dalton, we said that he would make a difference, and what a difference, though. I didn't know if anybody expected this. Yeah, we knew the players would be excited. We'd see Adam Thielen show up. We'd see, Chuba Hubbard showed up even, too, on the run game. Just flowed better. But what was the difference here on your Raiders with a defense that's been playing so well?
Yeah, I mean, it's real simple. Andy Dalton, I believe, even stemming back to the days when he was a Bengal, anytime he went to play the Raiders, he would dice up the Raiders. Now, the Raiders didn't have as good of a defense then, but still, the history is that he always has the Raiders' number. So, and it didn't change. Honestly, it comes down to that you put in a veteran like Andy Dalton who still has a little bit of spark to him. Like the execution, the timing, that's the biggest part of it all, is the execution and timing was being played at a higher level that you couldn't account for it. He just played at such a higher level than the Raiders probably thought he was going to. And the Raiders, I feel like they're the type of team where they were seeing the Panthers on the schedule and they were like, oh, we just need to show up. And I think we got this game. And that's not the case. You cannot take any team lightly. I don't care who they are. But with that quarterback change, you instantly saw a boost. The offensive line, I feel like they stepped their game up because they had Dalton behind it. Gave them more confidence that they were going to do something. And then the same thing reverberated out to the wide receivers. You saw Deontay Johnson have one hell of a day. Adam Thielen was involved. Like, everybody was involved. And not just that confidence being installed, but then to counterpart that with the defense showing up and stopping the running game of the Raiders and now making them third and long all the time. Raiders, I don't know what their game plan was. It didn't make any sense because it seemed like they tried to run the ball way too much and it wasn't working. So why not change it? Get the ball down the field. We didn't see that until towards the end of the game when it was pretty much over. You know, it was over.
Right.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Then when they actually, because the score got so out of reach, they let actually Aiden O'Connell in there, which is interesting, guys, because this is the quarterback that I thought deserved the starting job, that should have been the starter in the beginning. And you can call it garbage time. Yeah, I'm going to assume the Panthers defense let up a little bit towards the end because they didn't have to play as hard.
Yeah.
But what you notice was that when Aiden O'Connell was in there, much like Andy Dalton for the Panthers, the offensive line played amazing for Aiden O'Connell.
Yep.
And he was able to go right down the field with no issues at all and throw a touchdown pass. So if you're a Raiders fan and you're watching that, it's got to make you question, like, the decision-making of this front office, the decision-making of the coaches. Like, we benched this guy for a guy that everybody knows. Like, he's not the future, but we're still paying him and he's starting. So,
yeah.
With that all being said, the Panther game, Raiders just pretty much, they just got beat. They got beat up in their own house, which was embarrassing for them. And maybe they can turn the page next week. We all know about Antonio Pierce's press conference. That's all over the freaking news. About he's saying, well, there were some players out there that made business decisions. So we're going to make business decisions. Sending a message to some of the players that might have not giving their all, maybe not coming down to tackle and it help support against the run. You know, it could be a lot of different things. We don't know. Yep. But could it be a quarterback change? I hope so personally, but it may be. Oh, that's the other thing too, is they also sustained two critical starters going down. Marcus Epps, their starting safety, done for the year. Gone. You know? They had their offensive line, their right tackle, Thayer Munford. He goes down in that game, leaves the game. They had a rookie playing right tackle after that point. So they're a team that's a little banged up that definitely has to make some changes. And I wouldn't just say personnel-wise. I would say also your game plans need to be better. Knowing that the Panthers, I feel like their game plan was like, hey, they're a team that struggles stopping the run, so we're just going to run no matter what happens. But guess what? Panthers showed up that day. Defense made it a point to stuff the Raiders' run game and make them throw the football. And Gardner Minshew, honestly, again, this week is another like glaring highlight to show you that Gardner Minshew isn't the quarterback that should be leading the team.
Right. Yeah, because that's the thing. It shows you if you want to bring up my team again here to give you an example. I mean, Daniel Jones here, not a very good offensive line right now either. You know, they got a good left tackle and you've got Malik Nabers. You got a guy who can get it to the quarterback and get it to him. You got a connection. You can make the ball move. What the Raiders have on offense, you know. If you had a quarterback that was able to get you somewhere, if you can't do it with what you have there, I mean, are you kidding me right now? I mean, that's the issue. And this is why we're talking about the Gardner Minshew issue. Because you have even Aiden O'Connell who started to get it together and get that rhythm with everybody. Devontae Adams too as well, but then you've even got Brock Bowers. Get that rhythm together and you've got an upside. You already know what you have with Gardner Minshew. It's this up and down with steady as she goes with the boat. You got some waves, and then you crank it down again. And then and it's fine. And he's got fire. We've seen that. We've seen it with Taylor Heinicke before. Hey, that guy has some real fire. Look at him. He gets amped up, but he's only going to get you what he's going to get you.
Yeah.
And they right there when you're talking about, you know, they go at him and they weren't afraid of him. It's because when you lose a guy like Josh Jacobs with that team, especially in that running game, you know, he was one of the top running backs in the league for multiple years.
Not only that, he was also a rushing king.
Oh, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like some average back that you let go to free agency and everyone's like not that upset about it. I truly believe that the locker room was pissed when they just didn't try to sign him, didn't bring him in, even have a sit down. Like, they just let him walk. You let that talented of a running back go, and then you said, okay, but we have Zamir White. Well, how's that working for you right now?
Yeah.
Zamir White, we called it before the season started. We're like, hey, Zamir is just a north and south runner. He doesn't make anybody miss, and he tries to run through everybody. He's not a good running back. He's good for, like, maybe short yardage, like maybe pounding it right in there in the scrum and pushing forward, but Josh Jacobs was different. He really just made things happen. And right now, Raiders are sorely missing that. If they wanted to be a running team, not only should they have kept Josh Jacobs and given him the money, I don't care, match the contract that Green Bay gave him. You had the money. Jimmy Garoppolo was on his way out.
Yeah.
A post-June cut. You were getting another, $25 to $30 million in relief. Mm-hmm. You could have easily paid for his salary and still had money left over. Don't give me that bull crap about, we weren't sure about the money. You had plenty of money. You just were being cheap about it. And now here's where you are. Because if you wanted to be a running team, you should have had Josh return. Because he's that much of a difference maker in the run game.
Yep, definitely. All right, so we got a couple more games we want to cover. I know one game I wanted to talk about was the 49ers game. They get off to a big lead here.
Yeah.
Juwan Jennings, lighting it up. You know, you got your injuries. You've got George Kittle was out. You know, everybody, Juwan, you know, stepping right up. I know fantasy owners jumped to him real last second, and I'm sure they have paid very well for themselves here.
There's even some people that didn't pick him up.
Didn't pick him up at all, huh?
He was just down the free agent wire because you don't know, right?
If you're really thinking about it,
you're like, yeah, Juwan Jennings could be a key cog right now because of all the injuries. But maybe some people are thinking, oh, but I have Brandon Ayuk. I think he's going to, like, take off now.
Guess what?
Ayuk isn't doing much of anything.
Yep, exactly. I mean, they had it, and San Francisco does the same type of thing we kind of talked about. You know, the defense missing the guys that they had left. You could see that obviously here. Secondary some issues still, and then again getting that lead and not holding on to it, not finishing games, and you can't do that with a team like the Rams, especially with Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford does not quit. Doesn't matter who he has at his disposal.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back and he got him. You know, plus, the running back, Kyron Williams, too. A nice touch, too, on top of it. But the Rams, you just can't keep them down, man.
I mean, you look at what they had to work with. And a lot of – listen, we talk about fantasy football managers out there. If you didn't pick up DeMarcus Robinson and you needed a wide receiver this week, bad on you, bro. Bad on you because that is his favorite target other than Cooper, obviously, and Puka. Like, he loves to throw him the rock. So he got plenty of looks, plenty of throws, got catches. Like, so this team going forward, you know, Cooper might not be back in this upcoming week. You know, Puka's still going to be out. So if you need to, definitely pick a guy like DeMarcus Robinson up. But the Rams, like, you're right. Stafford, it doesn't matter who you give him. He's going to make things happen as a quarterback. He gives receivers chances because he is one of those really good passing quarterbacks that he's going to give you a chance. And what you do with that opportunity is up to you. You make the catch, you're going to get the ball more. And this team is just trying to figure out ways to kind of scrape by while their injuries are piling up. And it's crazy, Jim, because I'll tell you, like this week alone, there was an awful lot of starters being injured, leaving the game.
Yeah.
Not going to come back for a few weeks anyway.
Right.
And it's going to hurt teams as we get longer into the season. And the NFL, your favorite NFL league, wants to expand another week or so of games. Look at what we're dealing with right now. A high amount of injuries every single week, and the list just keeps getting longer. So that's something that the players union is definitely going to have to address. But key players missing, and for the Niners, they're no exception. We already know the laundry list basically for them this past week. But now they have also lost Javon Hargrave.
Yep.
He's going to be done for the year. So a guy who was holding it down in the middle of that D-line, and we were skeptical coming into this season, like, well, it's not the same D-line, not really sure how they're going to do. You just lost a big dude in the middle like that, at that caliber. Nick Bosa, man, get ready for more double teams every week because I don't know. So they're struggling with injuries, but they had that game. The Niners had the game. They ended up giving it up in the end, and credit to the Rams for storming back and making that comeback win happen. But the Rams, the Niners, neither one of these teams are going to give up.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, with that game, the way that these teams are playing and fighting hard against each other, but with the injuries and the way the Arizona Cardinals have been playing, the Seattle Seahawks, this division ready to flip upside down too, you know? I mean, because these two guys, these two juggernauts of a team, the 49ers, the Rams, you know, injuries on top of it, I mean, it's going to be tight. And a lot of these divisions, the way they're panning out, flipped upside down. Some teams not performing like we thought they might. You know, like you said, the Ravens have a road to climb here. The Texans just fall a little bit here, so they've got a little chink in their armor. It gives the Colts just pulled out a victory here, but still Anthony Richardson not looking very good still again, but they are able to get it done. You know, Jonathan Taylor, luckily they've got him. But anybody hits anybody's guesses on some of these games, buddy. And
it really is.
It's crazy week to week.
It really is, you know, and that's the thing is like that game alone. The Colts in Chicago, like, I watched a little bit of that game, and I'm like, it's almost like neither team wants to win it. It's like they were both making mistakes. They were both screwing up with penalties and just, you know, their drives ending too early. Like, it was just insane. So we still don't have a clear answer on what the Colts actually are, and we don't have an answer about Chicago just yet. All we do know about the Bears is that their defense is really good. Like, there's no question about that. Offense just hasn't been able to keep up with them.
Yeah, again, any other games you want to cover right now? I know maybe one, but go ahead if you want.
Actually, you know what? Let's talk about the Commanders and Bengals.
Okay.
Commanders and Bengals, that was an awesome game to watch. If you didn't tune in, you missed a good one. I mean, a lot of people, I could see why a lot of people would look at that game, me included. I'm like, oh, man, Commanders, Bengals. I'm like, dude, the Bengals, the way they played the week prior, I'm like, dude, the Bengals got to win this game. Like, Jaden Daniels and that Commander offense, they haven't been opening the playbook. And that's kind of the – I know they're putting training wheels on Jaden Daniels because they didn't want him to make too many mistakes. They wanted to limit that. But this kid is ready. We told everybody from day one when he got drafted, like, this dude is going to be different at the next level. Not just because of his mobility, but, man, he can make every throw, has a cannon for an arm. Like, he's super smart. Funny thing is about Jaden Daniels is that the Raiders in draft, they really wanted him bad. They wanted him so bad, but they just couldn't make a trade up for him. Here's the kicker. They said that they were hoping that he would slide to 13. We never saw that happening once. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, they thought there was a chance. Guess what?
No.
So Jaden Daniels with Washington, and this is what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator, to open up the playbook, let him command it. Let him take this offense. Let him throw it to Scary Terry down the sideline. Let him open it up and throw it to Daomi Brown. Let's see what we really have here, because just get rid of the training wheels. Let this dude grow as he plays. Yeah. That's really what you got him in there for. Stop with the training wheels. Let's see. You saw that against Cincinnati. This is a game where they're like, all right, we're going to run in the beginning. And then they're like, you know what? We're just not getting enough. We're not getting down the field. Let's open it up. Boom. Instant explosion. You started to see Terry McLaurin go crazy, catching the ball left and right, getting a couple touchdowns. You just saw this offense really start to not only just be successful, but the productivity for everybody just went through the roof. Offensive line, we've been complaining about this offensive line for 2 weeks now, going into week three, and it's just like, this team's terrible. The defense is terrible. What's going on there? And now, by opening up that playbook, putting points on the bar, on the board, allowing the defense to rest, getting back out there, and having not to play from behind, it changes the complexity of the game. It changes the mentality of the game. And the Bengals, who we thought were starting to figure things out, especially in this game, Joe Burrow looked good. Ja'Marr Chase went crazy. Like, we started to see, like, this offense of theirs open up. And why? We called it last week, guys. T. Higgins. Now that he was healthy, he was in there, it opens up everything. It's not just Chase that you got to worry about. Now you got to worry about T. Higgins too, and everybody in between, Mike Gesicki included. So, wow, what a change by both teams. But that was an awesome game to watch, and I wanted to pull something up here.
While you're looking for it, that's the one thing I noticed here too. Because again, you know what they picked up on defense here to try and get them, you know, doing well, especially in the back end, but they let everybody just, you know, pound on them. You know, the people are just scoring at will, and that's the thing. Joe Burrow puts up, you know, great numbers. What, three touchdowns? He got sacked twice, but three touchdowns at 300-something yards. They're scoring. Like, they're doing okay. But when the defense is letting the other team just score right back on them, that doesn't help you at all.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Real quick, in this Bengals game, they lost another starting offensive lineman. So Trent Brown leaves, looks pretty serious. He's got he tore his patella tendon, definitely out for the season.
Yep.
So what are they going to do with that answer there? They got to figure that out going forward. Maybe they got to do maybe they got to put a tight end on that side all the time now, and maybe tweak their offense a little bit to prevent that rush on that side. But here's what I found. It isn't the first time it's happened, but Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels completed 91.3% of his passes Monday night, setting a record for the highest completion percentage by a rookie with a minimum of 20 attempts in a game in NFL history. This dude is going to shatter milestones, and he's already doing it in his rookie year. First, he's definitely he's got the crown now for that. And second, the guy he beat out that had it originally was Dak Prescott. He said he set this record in 2016 and completed 88.9% of passes. So, Jaden Daniels, now that you took the training wheels off, Cliff Kingsbury, trust this kid. Let's see how good Washington could actually be. I know that's not something you want to hear, Jimmy, but you got the kid special, and now that you've taken those training wheels off, man, did he have one hell of a primetime game Monday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And you see the difference too. Like you said, you know what, in the training wheels off, he was really comfortable with everybody too. And you saw on drives, when it was even fourth down, he didn't hesitate. He's like, hurry up, give me the play, like, let's go. And then even after they got that first down, you saw Dan Quinn say, huddle up. And he's like, no,
we've got him on the ropes.
Let's just go.
Let's go. Give me the play.
You know what I mean? So
I'll tell you right now too, that shows confidence. Like, that shows not just confidence for him, but for him to demand as a rookie. He's demanding the play call to get in faster. Get in faster, Cliff. I need it faster. Now, Patrick Mahomes started doing this with Andy Reid. Yeah. Like, every time the play gets over, he just wants to play right away. Jaden Daniels is showing, like, not only is he poised, but he's in his rookie year. I mean, I know it's early, but in his rookie year, man, he already looks like a veteran out there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's just, again, limit some of the mistakes as penalties yeah. is what killed that team. Mainly offensive line, things like that stuff. But hopefully, again, they'll be able to iron some of that out because, again, if you can, in those tough games that you need to win, where it's mm-hmm. against tighter competition, those penalties are what kills you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would say that I've changed my stance a little bit on the penalties thing. Like, yes, it does hurt your drives. It does sometimes stop your drives even. But turnovers to me is the most critical thing that you can't
absolutely.
Do.
I hear you there.
Penalties does hurt, but penalties, like, I'm okay with physical penalties, not mental ones. When you have mental penalties, that drives me like crazy. But physical penalties, like, okay, maybe you blocked the guy a little extra than you should have as a whistle blew. But yeah, that's like the one thing. But that game, if you guys didn't watch it, if you didn't check it out, it was an awesome game to watch because it went right down to the wire. It was amazing.
Yeah, and actually you talk about turnovers. Apparently that game, too, was the first NFL game with no turnovers or punts since 1940.
Yeah.
So yep. How about that little fact of the day about that game right there?
Yeah, we dropped that down below, too. Ooh,
that's right.
All the news down there on the bottom, guys, that's all up-to-date information.
All right. Let's just cover one more here. And okay. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs and Atlanta Falcons game. All right.
Oh, why not?
There's a lot more. There's a lot more debate with some of this here. Falcons, I feel like, had them, but they were fighting so many injuries, though, too, on the offensive line and things where Kirk Cousins just had no time to get rid of it, man. He was just kind of dishing it out as fast as he could just drop back and toss it. But still in this game. And what everybody's talking about is that no call in the end zone here on a clear pass interference. It's there, mm-hmm. clear as day. And, yes, Atlanta was able to get a stop. How about that? Get the ball back and still have a chance to win. And the Chiefs were penalized a lot in that last drive, but rightfully so because they were, you know, penalties when they were moving down, you know, and so they were able to win still just coming up short. But everybody looks at it again. That all should have never even happened because they had the score there at least, you know. So maybe it's a different story, but who knows? You give Patrick Mahomes 13 seconds and he can still beat you, right?
Well, I mean, the bottom line is call a fair game. Like if you're going to call a game, call it fair. Like, it's under the lights. It's prime time. Everybody's watching this game. Like, you're not going to fool nobody. So, like, when you do a non-call like that, when they literally took a mirrored picture and showed they called this pass interference a week ago against the Bengals, then this one against the Falcons, no call. Why? It's the same freaking thing. Mm-hmm. You got to call it. We've been complaining and bitching about this, but now it's reached a whole new level. Especially with the Chiefs as an organization, they're getting a lot of calls in their favor, a lot. And it's critical ones that are costing teams even a chance to stay in the game or maybe even win it. Atlanta is like the latest victim right now. By not making that call, that could have changed everything. Because now you get the ball down at the one-yard line, you know, you get a chance to score. Let's say they score a touchdown. That might change the game in its entirety to where – that's it. The Falcons end up winning that game. It could have. So by not calling the game the same way every single week, this is where it's leading people to not believe in the NFL as an organization. It's not allowing to believe in their officiating. So you mean to tell me, and there's a ton of skeptics out there, that when they look at this, they're like, wait, all the calls seem to be favoring the Chiefs for so far and after 3 weeks. And it's usually critical points of the game. So something's fishy here. Roger Goodell, you're going to help us out here? Like, you might have to make a few phone calls and have some meetings with some referees and say, hey, listen, guys, we need to call this game fairly. Like, we can't just be not throwing the flag or throwing the flag in favor of the Chiefs just because they're the darling of our league right now. But let's just call it what it is. Like, the Chiefs have, let's face it, Chiefs have not played up to their level at all in 3 weeks of football. They don't. They've struggled sometimes. And honestly, they should have probably lost two games already. But until something gets said, until something changes, like I fear that this is going to continue throughout the year where the Chiefs are favored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing, though. It's tough. It's like, because, again, I've seen it, you know, so I want to agree with that, you know, but, you know, again, you also the argument that, you know, they were, you know, heavily penalized on that last drive for Atlanta.
That's too. Making up for it. That's what right. that is. That's making up for like not doing the drive.
Right. And what makes it worse, too, I think, is when you got, like, guys like Chris Collinsworth riding along right with it and kind of be like, yeah, all right, there you go. There's Mahomes doing Mahomes things and this and blah, blah, blah. Oh, man, this is what's great about the Chiefs. But, yeah, I mean, and we've seen this with other teams that are winning or even, like I right. said, with the face of the league, too, Patriots. You get a lot of those calls, you know what I mean? And it sucks to see because, again, it shouldn't be that way.
No.
But, you know, when you're liked by the officials or whatever, or if the NFL says, hey, these guys got to be kind of the team here, we're all eyes are on these guys, which make it close, for, you know, or whatever, you know, maybe they get a couple here just, you know, to make it a little, you know, easier for them, I guess.
But, it's messed up.
And, really you know, saying that, that's difficult, but then also, you know, on the other hand, though, too, what feeds into it is the fact that they aren't playing up to par and they're still winning somehow. And when you see those calls, a microscope is just put on it and say, hey, listen, Mahomes playing not like Mahomes or whatever. Kelsey's not even really getting the ball that often. He's not making a big play in the games and scoring like he's used to seeing, right?
Yeah, he's not involved.
And they're still winning somehow. Like, damn it, you know? So then they look at the, hey, well, they're getting the calls, too, and this and that. So it opens the door, I think, for some of it.
That's the problem, is the fact that mm-hmm. they're not playing to a high enough level for themselves that mm-hmm. they're also being helped with. We already knew that they're being helped with past games, even last season. But mm-hmm. now they're playing at a lower level than we're accustomed to seeing them play. And the refs are helping them out. It almost seems like even more. Whereas it might not be every – they're not nitpicking the Chiefs. But then, oh, Patrick Mahomes threw it 60 yards down the field and their feet got tangled up. We're going to throw a pass interference call. We're going to give them a new set of downs. It was third and long, and now they're down there, and they end up scoring a touchdown. It's like when you change the actual output of the game, that's when you're doing too much. Call the game the way it should be called, regardless of the team, and that's really all you need to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here's the play. I got it on Google Slides here, quick. Just wanted to show you. That's the freeze frame that you're talking about. And there it is. One right there with the Bengals game.
The Bengals
is the pass interference, and then this guy who's hugging. It was Pitts, right? I think that was there for the catch.
Yeah, he's not even looking back for the ball.
You can see where the ball is, you know, in retrospect with everything. So
he's trying. The Kyle Pitts is trying to come back for the ball.
Yeah,
he's literally not even looking, and he's driving into his torso. Like, come on! And then the ref made a statement after the game, said this, and said, from my angle, I didn't see anything wrong with it. What angle? Any angle, it looks bad. You don't need to be right in at the corner. Oh, it looks the same.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yep. Yep. Somebody had to have done something, and that's where it even kind of goes. It's like, how come? At least, you know, because we were talking about when they used to be able to challenge or throw flags on pass interference before, and then that was a mockery of the whole thing. Right. How is you even New York office not able to intervene in that whole situation too as well?
But that's the thing, is that's why pass interference needs to be reviewable, because if the refs aren't going to make the call, we need New York to step in. Mm-hmm. All I care about, I'm not just complaining because it's the Chiefs. I'm complaining about every game where they blow calls, they change the output of a game.
Yep.
We want to avoid that at all costs. I understand holding calls are part of the game. It's going to happen. False starts, going to happen.
Yep.
But when it comes down to critical points of the game, pass interference calls, or maybe even
defensive holding,
maybe even his feet aren't in on the sideline. Like, these are type of plays, like big time plays, yeah, where they need to be reviewed, and it doesn't have to take long. Because that's the NFL's worry, right? They're like, oh, yeah, it's going to make the game so much longer. It doesn't have to be. How about you stop having conferences over a holding call in the middle of the football field?
Right.
And start freaking do what, like, college football.
What's that about?
If anybody watches college football, the referees, for the most part, not all the time, they are so efficient. What's the call? Holding? Okay. Holding number 67. Let's move on. They just, he listens to what the referee saw, and he just addresses it. They don't have a meeting, for the most part. But yeah, in the NFL, it's like having a meeting after every freaking call.
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, I don't know what the conversation is. Yeah, that's always sketchy, right? What's the conversation about?
Stupid.
Oh, boy. All right. There you go. There's the recap, Joe. That's right. So, yeah, everybody out there watching, if you haven't yet, make sure you guys head to YouTube and look up, you know, Grumblings Media, and you'll find our show plus plenty of others, sports, entertainment, political, whatever you might want. It's all right there. And also, if you scan that barcode right there, that brings you right to grumblingsmedia.com, where you can find articles and all of our shows here and the links to see them at Rumble, you know, X, everywhere you can get your podcast too. If you want to hear the audio versions, if you're on your way, there you go. You can all get it there too as well. Apple Music, Pandora, that's right. So whatever you like, you can find us there. Joe, we brought this segment in a couple weeks ago, and we're going to bring it in again once here, and it is the pick six here, Joe. And now I picked something, whether it be football related or not, you know, where I decide to, you know, say, hey, here's my six things I'm listing for this, and it could be any topic. Well, this week.
It's funny. It's funny because you just saw the pick six, you know, yes, title page, and it has Deion. Mm-hmm. I just got done watching Prime, the TV show on Amazon Prime, actually, about Prime, about him as a coach, like with Colorado and everything. It was it's a must-see. If anybody hasn't checked it out, it's awesome.
Nice. I'll have to definitely check that out. So this week, I decided to keep it with football, and because of the great performances by many quarterbacks, I'm doing best QBs of week three. Honorable mention, we talked about Joe Burrow and stuff having a pretty good game despite losing. He is not on the list. So, but, you know, honorable mention for Joe Burrow. All right, now here we go. And this isn't in no order. It's not like number one, number, and then six is like the worst of them. This is just six of them. I'm picking them. All right, so Josh Allen. I've got Josh Allen on this list. Josh Allen, Monday night. I thought Jacksonville was going to put up a fight because they do play well against Buffalo at home. And Josh Allen said, no, I don't think so. You know, and actually the whole team, the defense played really well. I mean, Trevor Lawrence,
they really did.
You know, he did really poorly too. And if I was giving out, you know, my missing player on the milk carton, he might be it too as well, but he wouldn't make it together, but pretty abysmal too as well and having a terrible season. But Josh Allen, four touchdowns, 263 yards. For a rate of 142, plus he had 44 rushing yards too, Joe. Full beast mode. This guy played his ass off in this game. You know, right there he is. He's one of my pick six QBs.
Yeah, he's actually one of my favorite QBs this week too because he helped me win one of my bets. So
nice.
Thank you, Josh Allen.
All right, excellent. All right, here we go. Next up on my list, I've got Daniel Jones, Joe. Here we go. Daniel Jones making an appearance. I had to show him some love when I could. Yes, he didn't have 300 something yards, but you know what? Again, for a guy that, you know, hasn't been playing the best here, you know, it's a tough team. And here he goes. He's, you know, 24 for 34, 236 yards, two touchdowns. And also, you know, he ran the ball a little bit too, a rate of 109. You know, I put my guy on there. Maybe that's a little favoritism, but I like Daniel Jones here on this one.
He played well. Pick there, why not?
Yeah. I probably could have put Burrow in ahead of him. Yeah, why not? But
that's
again, against that Cleveland defense, I loved it.
if Aiden O'Connell is starting this week and he has one game, he'll have to be on the list too.
All right, we'll do that. There we go. Next. All right, there you go. And there's your guy. Jaden Daniels is next on the list here, Joe. Boom, he made the list. What a performance he had. I got it right here. Where is he? Dude, what the hell? I don't see it now. Oh, there it is. I lost it now. There he goes. 254 yards, 21 for 23. Lights out. Two touchdowns.
Woo.
39 yards rushing. 141.7 rate, Joe. Oh, my God. And again, when you talk about his leadership on the field, too, as well, that's what made it stand out as well for me. Jaden Daniels, here you go. You get the pick six.
Yes.
All right, next.
Jaden Daniels definitely needs to be on here.
Yep. Sam Darnold is on my list here. Sam Darnold against the
Let's
Houston
go.
Texans. I thought Houston, again, was going to put it to these guys at least, you know, shut them up a bit. You know, it's a tough playoff-bound team. You look at this team, you know, C.J. Stroud, yeah. Stephon Diggs. You know the name. You know the defense. And Sam Darnold and the Minnesota Vikings really took them outside back behind the woodshed. And Sam Darnold, here you go, 17 for 28, only 181 yards, but four touchdowns. Despite being sacked four times, 119.2 QBR rating right there. You got to love it. Sam Darnold. There you go.
Because you know what? He didn't need a lot of passing yards because they were running the ball down their throat. So, kudos to Sam Darnold for getting the job done yet again. And I can't wait to see where this Vikings team is headed.
Yep, absolutely. All right, I've got two more in my pick six of the best QBs of week three, and I've got Andy Dalton. I'm showing some love to Andy Dalton. Coming off the bench here, hold my beer, Bryce Young. 26 for 37, 319 yards, three touchdowns, a rate of 123.6. Man, showing some offense here out of this team that everybody just looked at and was like the laughing stock of the NFL. And he shut up the haters here. Absolutely.
I mean, they were. They were the laughing stock of it. Now we'll wait and see what happens when they face a better team. Like, because they didn't – it's not like –
it's the revenge game now. They play the Cincinnati Bengals next week.
Yeah.
So is that a better team or not?
that might change. Well, think about it this way. Because the Bengals had been playing much better last week. Like, the offense really stepped their game up. And if their offense can do that same thing the following week, that's what's helping their defense too. Like, yes, both teams gave up a ton of points. I get it, 30-plus points from each side. But it's going to help defenses when they're allowed to get a little bit more of a rest. Then they can get out there and do their thing. So let's see how it evolves going forward. Like, does this offense kind of bring the Cincinnati Bengals? I know they're 0-3, but is this the turning point for the Bengals now? Like, because now they got T. Higgins back. The offense looked a lot better like we're used to seeing. And let's see if that kind of reflects on the defensive side for this upcoming week.
All right, next. And now finally here for my pick six. For the best QBs of week three, I've got my man Brock Purdy. Love me some Brock Purdy. He looked great out there. Again, flawless. 137 QBR rating here. He also had 41 rushing yards for Brock Purdy. 22 for 30.
That dude's
292
got wheels.
Yards too, Joe. So accurate. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And again, without his weapons, you know, he did have Brandon Ayuk still, and you know, Juwan Jennings is no slouch though too, but still Brock Purdy getting it done, shutting up the haters.
Brandon Ayuk,
even though they couldn't get the win.
Was Brandon Ayuk who?
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, they gave this dude the money he wanted.
Yeah.
And what are you doing?
That's when you got to show up.
You're not doing anything.
Right.
Like, come on. Especially when you don't have Debo in the lineup and you don't have Christian McCaffrey. Come on, man. Like, you got to show up and show out. So I'm disappointed in Ayuk right now. But, man, Brock Purdy, dude, he's got ice in his veins, man. He's so cool. Calm, cool, collected, and the dude's got wheels. He does not look like he has them, but when he turns the afterburners on, man, he can go. So good for Brock.
There you go. So there he is. That's my pick six for week number three. Who knows what I'll come up with next week? You never know. But All right, Joe.
Maybe we give some love to the running backs.
Maybe we do. I just put it out there on the fly. It was nice, but yeah, I will one of these times here. All right, Joe, the picks, we don't really do a competition on this show and stuff like that, but we're going to throw it out there anyways just to show it the difference here. Again, I'm not looking very good. I will come up with better graphics, too. Again, this was on the fly because this looks really like Windows 95. I apologize to everybody, but I will do better. Get it off the screen.
Get it off the screen.
There you go. I am not doing well here right now early on, but that's how we do it, Joe. No.
Neither one of us are.
Start off slow.
I'll tell you right now.
No, you turn it on.
So far this season, correct me if I'm wrong, but so far this season has been the most difficult season to pick games, like hands down, because there's so many surprises that are happening, and we're still to this point, even after 3 weeks, still trying to figure out what all these teams are.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the Eagles and Saints game, how close that was the whole entire game. Like, there was, like, no scoring for the longest time.
Yeah.
And it's like – and then, you know, at the very end, the Eagles pulled out the win. But yeah. It's like, dude, things that we didn't anticipate seeing is happening. And I'm at a loss right now, like, picking games every week because you never know who's going to show up and who doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, you don't. And then with the injuries compound on it, I'm sure with these teams, it's the healthy teams that are going to withstand it all, you know. So
right.
It's tough. But all right, let's get to it. You know, I put music up last week. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to do a different type of music maybe every week. I don't know. Let's try a different. I'm just going to see what the hell this is because I can't tell by the music the way it is here. I think I did Daydreaming last time. I'm gonna do into Space. Is that what this is? I don't know. Yeah, okay. Well, it's funky, maybe funkadelic. All right, Joe. Oh yeah, here we go. All right, picks Thursday Night Football: the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Football Giants. What do you got in this one? This is just like chill.
Yo,
I'm gonna turn it down a little bit.
This song is perfect for this game. That's all I gotta say because. Dude, we don't know what either one of these teams are doing. Just when you think the Giants are probably going to go 0-3, they end up pulling out the win against Cleveland. And
uh-oh. What did I lose you, Joe? Joe! All right, I might have lost Joe. Joe, try and get yourself back if you can. I'm going to remove you from the screen right now. But, yeah, let's talk Giants-Cowboys Thursday Night Football. It's tough because, again, it's impressive what the Giants were able to do against the Cleveland Browns team that has a really good defense. I think they were kind of caught by surprise here by the Giants and what they were able to do with running the ball efficiently. But then Malik Nabers, now he's starting to put people on notice and show that he can be an elite wide receiver in this league and this quickly in the league. And this is what I think is going to be the thing for the Cowboys to try and stop here. That's the key to the game. Try and double team or put one of their good corners that they do have on Malik Nabers and try and shut him down, get him out of this game, force Daniel Jones to either try and run the ball or get rid of the ball quicker to where you can't get it to Nabers and you've got to try and dish it down to your running backs or really get your running game going. So this is going to be a tough one here. I'm hoping it's close, but like I said, throughout this season, again, I'm not sold in on my Giants team. Again, I'm more pessimist than optimist, I guess, through it all. I get excited when they do win. I'm hoping they can win. I get excited about this last win that they had against the Cleveland Browns. Did not expect them to win, so it was pleasant. But I picked them against them just because, again, it seems like whenever I do side with them, I jump on the bandwagon. They launch me off the bandwagon just as closely, just as fast. So it's tough for me to not pick the Dallas Cowboys here, even though Dallas is not at home this time, and they usually do play better at home. Just the last couple of seasons, not looking so hot. The last couple of games, rather, not looking so hot. But Thursday night, prime. I think the Cowboys are going to show up finally this time. They're frustrated. They need a win. Giants just trying to get some momentum going. Unfortunately, they have to meet this team, but I would be excited if the Giants do pull out this victory. But Joe's back right there. You are, Joe. But I kept it going when you
what
were
the frig?
Away. I don't
Dude,
know.
Come
we're
on.
Right in the middle of it all, but I was just explaining to everybody how, again, I am with the Giants. I think this is going to be a tighter game. I hope it can be, especially as of last couple seasons. It has not been. But I'm going to side with the Dallas Cowboys as they have more pressure to win.
Not a shocker by you, Jim. Not a shocker
I know.
At all. But yeah,
I had a lot of word salad to get to that regular easy pick. I cobbled it.
Yeah,
Joe.
I mean, I'm just going to go with the Cowboys too, and it's just because I'm very uncertain. I don't know if it's a little bit of a exception from last week, like, you know, with the Giants and how well they play Cleveland. Is it just because Cleveland is playing that badly? Or did the Giants figure some things out? So I'm going to go with the Cowboys in this one.
All right. Next up, we've got the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons. The Saints, again, they had that offense really going in the first couple weeks. We knew that it was going to be a tougher game here against Philadelphia. But it's funny how even yet low scoring it was in the way the approach the teams took. Saquon Barkley had a big day in the running. Again, when you talk about running backs and show some love to the running backs, I almost did do a list or include multiple types of players, and Saquon potentially could have been one of those guys. But the Saints get a chance to play Atlanta. Atlanta's beat up on the offensive line here. They can bounce back against Atlanta. Atlanta has a good defense. I think they're going to play them hard. This is going to be a really tough game here, these guys. But I think New Orleans has the best of them, I think, in Atlanta, most likely, from what I recall. I could be wrong on this one, but a lot of times I pick Atlanta at home, but I think New Orleans ends up taking it a lot of the time. So I'm going to go with the Saints on this one to win in Atlanta.
I got a little bit of a bone to pick with Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator. I don't know what he was thinking, but it ran way too much. Like with Alvin Kamara, it's almost like they want to prove they just want to run.
All right, Joe, you're breaking up. I can't even hear what you're saying.
Just why wouldn't you? So can you hear me?
Now, all right, now talk. Try it again. It's choppy for some reason. I don't get it.
That makes sense to me.
There you are. Well, now you're clear. I don't know what you might have just did, or I don't know, maybe nothing, but try it again.
Magic touch, Jim. That's all. I just don't understand what Clint Kubiak was doing that from a game plan standpoint against the Eagles. He just ran too much. He has Derek Carr playing at a high level. Why not utilize all the aerial attack and the weapons that you have and just spread the ball around? You can still run the ball with Kamara, but spread the ball around, get it down the field, score points, and make it real difficult for the Eagles because, honestly, the Saints' defense was shutting them down. Mm-hmm. For the whole pretty much whole game. Now, if you put a couple, two, three more touchdowns on the board, it could have been another blowout in the end of it. So, Clint Kubiak, I'm disappointed in you. Hopefully, you figure things out this week and open up that playbook back up. But I'm going to go with the Saints against Atlanta. I love what Atlanta showed me this past week. They're definitely going to be one of these teams down the stretch to keep an eye on. But I just think that this rivalry that they got going on in this division, I know pass protection wise, you know, the Saints, they lost an interior offensive lineman, and that's going to mess with some things, but I still think the Saints pull out the win.
Yep. All right. Next up, we've got the Los Angeles Rams and the Chicago Bears. Chicago's got the weapons. They've got, you know, all the talk, the defense stuff. But, again, it looks like Caleb Williams can't really dial it in. The offensive line is really struggling here, and that's why he's getting a lot of pressure too, but not able to make those plays. And the Rams, again, despite everything, still fighting through. They looked really good. The defense even good at times. So I think Caleb Williams is going to struggle again in this game. And then Chicago, again, I really didn't see them pulling out like this division. Like some people tried to kind of call their shot and say they were going to do this here. And I think this is another knock against them this week. That really makes that hill harder to climb here to get out of the bottom of this division. But I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Rams on this one and Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. For anybody that was like hyping up the Chicago Bears because they got their guy at quarterback and they have I get it. The hype was there because it was exciting, right, for Bears fans. It looked like on paper anyways, like, hey, we got our guy at quarterback. We got all these weapons around him. Like, what's not to think? And we already know our defense is good. Maybe this is the year. Maybe we make a push. Maybe we win the division. Not looking like it right now. And I think with Caleb Williams continuing to struggle week in and week out, I think that's the big problem, is the offense not putting up points, not sustaining drives, and him making poor decisions as they go. I can't pick the Bears in this one. Again, I know it's a shocker to everybody, but I'm going to go with the Rams in this. I know they don't have Puka and they don't have Puka. But what the Rams do have is they have a running attack. And they're going to utilize that along with DeMarcus Robinson, along with Tutu Atwell. You know, maybe I don't even know when Higbee's supposed to come back, but I know he's getting close to coming back off the injury list. So they get him back. Who knows, man? I think the Rams are going to play them tough. I think the Rams defense is going to give Caleb Williams fits. I'm going to go with the Rams.
All right. Next, we've got the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay.
This is a good one.
This is a good one. We saw Jordan Love out there throwing. He did not start in the game last week. Do you think he comes back this week to play against the Minnesota Vikings here in that rivalry?
That's the thing, is what we're hearing right now is last week, and they still kept him out. You know, why rush him back when, you know, Malik Willis is playing good football, you know, for Green Bay. So it's going to be the same case this week, but I think he's so close, and he started practicing this week. So it's really going to come down to, as we get towards the end of the week, how healthy does he feel? Does he feel like 100% healthy? No limitations, no worries, no concerns? If that's the case, expect him to be out there this week. But there's always that slight chance that the coaching staff might be like, well, he's healthy. He could play. But, man, we won with Malik Willis. We could probably do it again this week and keep him out for one extra week. So it's one of these things where it's going to be a game-time decision. Make sure if you're a Packers fan or if you're playing fantasy or whatever and you have Jordan Love, make sure you definitely pay attention to the injury designation that he has on Friday. That's going to definitely tell you if they're going to shut him down or start him. I'm going to lean on the side of positivity, and I'm going to say Jordan Love makes his return this week. It'll be in Green Bay. What better way to come back? And then you're playing a very tough Vikings team that you know you want to beat. I think that's going to be awesome. This game is going to be – I don't care whether it be Love in there. I'm not buying into Willis just yet. But you got to admit, he's doing what's necessary to help the team win. So he's not causing them to lose. So, but Vikings playing at a super high level, coming in there. Now we do know that Sam Darnold comes in banged up as well.
Yep.
So that's something to watch for, also with the injuries. But man, both teams are really good in the division. Gonna be one hell of a game to watch. I'm gonna go with Vikings in this one, going into Green Bay and stealing a W, but definitely would not be surprised if Jordan Love does come back or not, and the Packers end up pulling this one out either.
Right, yeah. If Jordan Love comes back, I've got the Packers on this one. If he doesn't, I'm going to lean on the side of the Vikings in this one, because I think he's that big of a difference maker. Both defense very good. We have seen the matchup between Jair Alexander and Justin Jefferson. It gets chippy, but Justin Jefferson does get the jump on him, the upside on that most of the time, I would say. So we're going to see that. We're going to see the shit talking. We're going to see all that. So that'll be exciting to watch on that one. If Jordan Love plays, I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers.
The other thing that I'll say is that last outing when Jordan Love did get hurt and he left the game, before he got injured, he didn't look too good. He was missing receivers left and right and everything. So I have a little bit of concern where I don't think Jordan Love is bad or anything. That's not
right. Sophomore slump, maybe.
But no, I don't want to say sophomore slump. It's too early. Mm-hmm. But what I will say is that maybe there's some rust as being into live action. Like he had one good week, then came back the next week.
Yep.
And before the injury, looked a little shaken by the defense anyway. Maybe it's the better defense at play. But we'll see in this matchup because it's going to be plenty of it.
Right, and the difference here again, which I think really matters that people don't pay attention to, he had that sit-in, you know what I mean? The sit-in that he did. He did not dress. He showed up to practice knowing he was going to get the deal done. So he wasn't like saying, hey, I'm not going to play. So it was an agreement between the team and him. They wanted to rest him up until they got the contract done. And you miss out on some of that stuff, you know what I mean? And that's why you don't get your rhythm together.
Yeah, you're definitely not practicing if you're not getting, you know, you're in the middle of a contract. What happens if you go out and practice, you sprain your ankle?
Right.
Now the contract negotiations change dramatically. Well, he's a little banged up, so I don't know if we can comfortably give him this kind of money if he's going to be injured all the time. So that's the real reason. The agent probably told him, like, listen, you got an agreement with the team, just don't practice. And we'll get this all hashed out.
Yep. Next up, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts. Colts, again, I think I can't stand by them until I see more of Anthony Richardson, and I haven't really even still. He's not really showing me something to do something. And right now, Pittsburgh Steelers, they're rolling. You know, they're rolling on everything here, despite everything. Justin Fields is getting a little more involved in the offense here. You know, you've got two good running backs here, Najee Harris, and the weapons, too, on top of it, and that Pittsburgh defense. So, Colts, even though they are at home, I'm going to side on the Pittsburgh Steelers in this one to go 4-0.
Yeah, Alex Highsmith will be missing this game, the guy that helps T.J. Watt rush the passer on the opposite end. He'll be shut down. So I'm curious to see, like, who they have, like someone kind of coming in, guys that somehow, some way, Pittsburgh always finds these like hidden gems at linebacker that can rush off the edge. So I'm curious to see who that's going to be. But overall, like the Steelers defense played really well last week. They're going to continue that going into this week. And I don't know the status of Russell Wilson just yet. It seems like he's going to be practicing limited as of right now. So he's out there, but not full yet. We still have to monitor that later in the week to see which quarterback is going to play. But even that said, I think I'm going to lean on the Steelers this week. What we noticed last week when the Colts faced the Bears is that neither team wanted to win that game. And it was just who was able to make one extra play count. And that was the Colts last week. I don't think they have that same luck this week. And I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. T.J. Watt will be in that backfield often, unless they do something to double team him. They'll be back there quite often against Richardson. And maybe that's something that they want, because if that happens, Richardson has the escapability. He has the speed to take off, but it's going to be that other end. They're going to need to contain that opposite side of T.J. Watt to get him in the backfield and sack him.
All right, next up we've got the Denver Broncos and the New York Jets. Jets at home, Aaron Rodgers, they pull off a victory last Thursday night. He's looking better. Again, I think it's just knocking the rust off of everything. You know, it's tough to get moving when you're that old bear hanging out in the cave and doing Ian Hushka. You know, there you go, getting back involved with everybody. He does look old, though, too. I'm growing my stubble out a bit again, and I'm 7 years older than he is, or so. He and eight, I think, at this point. Dude, you know what I mean? They see him with his, you know, when they do the close-up, especially how it's like high graphics. It's looking rough. But anyways, on the field, though, he looks smooth, though. The way he's playing, I think he's looking really good, a lot more poised. The Denver Broncos able to pull out a win last week, but a lot of it just all running and things like that. And that defense, really. That defense really putting on the pressure and getting it done because, again, it wasn't Bo Nix, really, you know, at least throwing-wise.
I mean, Bo Nix did a good job last week.
He did all right, you know, but, I mean.
Beating the receivers, doing what he had to do. And I really think that with that Broncos defense, with Bo Nix there. Like, as he plays more, he's just going to get better in that offense. So, kudos to Bo Nix. I hate to say it because I was not high on him coming out of the draft, but it is what it is. The guy's playing good enough to kind of help this team win.
All right, but it's all said and done with this game when you look at it. Again, I mean, it's not hard for me to pick on this one. I know that, you know, Denver's going to play hard on defense, but I like the New York Jets here and Aaron Rodgers, and he's getting more familiar with his weapons here. So I like that one here for them. I'm going to go with the New York
Jets.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Sorry.
The Denver Broncos are coming from West Coast to East Coast. It's usually not a very easy thing to do. Playing in New York, it's also going to be a tough environment for them. The Jets, they're coming off a lot of success offensively. They're looking really good. The only negative, though, is that they lost right tackle Morgan Moses. So how much of a factor will that be? Also, Mekhi Becton, I'm not sure if he's going to be available either. So, that being said, I still think that the Jets have the upside in this game. I feel like with Rodgers and how what Rodgers showed me last week is his mobility, and that there was no lingering concerns about him limping or anything like that after the game or during it. So that definitely had a lot of – it showed a lot of confidence to the sideline and when I was watching it. So I think that the better quarterback win – that is hands down Rodgers, and the Jets are going to pull out this W here in New York, baby.
All right. Next up, we've got the Philadelphia Eagles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Eagles edged out a win last week. Tampa Bay just got embarrassed here by the Broncos here, and Baker Mayfield didn't look very good either in this one either. They have a chance at redemption. It is going to be tough, though, too, because, again, we know the weapons that the Eagles have on this one. Tampa Bay at home, they like to play hard there. But, you know, that's going to be tough. I think it's going to be a tough tale of the defenses here. But I think it's a shootout, really, in this one.
You think it's going to be a shootout?
I think it's a shootout. And I might go with the Eagles on this one to win the shootout.
I think with Saquon Barkley there, it definitely helps balance that offense out to where they don't need to be a shootout team. And what he's been able to do in a short amount of time with that offense has been crazy.
Yeah.
One major goal of his was to stay healthy, and so far he's doing that. So good on him. But the Eagles, like, this is one of those teams that are like in murky water. Like, sometimes they look like a juggernaut, and then last week, I mean, they got the win, but it wasn't impressive at all.
It wasn't.
Boring to watch. They couldn't figure out how to beat the Saints defense, and likewise for the Saints against the Eagles, and it just made it for a miserable game to watch. So, like, I'm not really sold on the Eagles, but I'm not really sold on the Buccaneers either after last week. Baker Mayfield, I really did expect Baker Mayfield to come out with yet not maybe the same game he did in week two and throw for four touchdowns and all that. But I thought he was going to be out there, was going to play adequate enough, and this offense was going to end up winning the game. It just didn't happen for them. So this is going to be a really tough test for both teams still. We still have question marks on both organizations. And I think the Eagles end up grabbing the Tampa Bay by their Buccaneers and end up beating them. Eagles definitely get the W.
Nice. I like it. All right, next up, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Bungles.
The Bungles. Exactly. And the Carolina Panthers here. Dalton gets his revenge game. Maybe not, but Carolina at home, here we go. We're going to see if those guys take the brown bags off their head for the red rifle. really get redemption against the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't know. I hope this defense can play better here, not so much of a wet paper bag, basically on the back end, dude. Because again, guys like Hendrickson, he's playing good. You know, he got a sack last night, I think they have a chance here. The offense, like you said, is looking better week to week, so they're putting up numbers. And that's the thing that's scary for this Carolina team, because I think now them sitting at 0-3. The pressure's definitely on. They did not expect to be here. They are getting better. I think Cincinnati is going to kind of knock Dalton back down to earth a little bit on this one, and the Carolina Panthers here, and take the victory.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, too, is now that T. Higgins is back in that lineup, we mentioned earlier in the show that it's definitely it's helped transform this offense to back to what we are normal to see in Cincinnati, with Joe Burrow being more confident, throwing the ball and distributing it on both sides of the field. You just seen an offense that is clicking, that has the chemistry once again. I'm still disappointed in the running in the backfield. Like, I'm not a Zach Moss fan. I still am not. He's not convincing me that he's a starter. I really like the young kid that they have in waiting and Chase Brown. I just wish this kid would get a chance because he's so much more electric and much more of a playmaker than Zach. But until they do that, I just don't think this running game is going to be scary at all. So with that being said, I do like the Bengals defense. Panthers now kind of changed my perspective on them now that they've made that quarterback change, because you've seen a team that looked dismal in the first 2 weeks of the season, and they're like, we don't want to play with Bryce Young. Like, not even his teammates were just like, no confidence. They're like, he can't hit me when I'm open. It was just bad. He couldn't even see over the offensive line, which was another problem. So now that Andy Dalton's in there, gives him a spark, looks so much better. So this team going forward, if he stays the starter, because I've heard rumors of them going back to Bryce Young eventually, but man, if he stays the starter, man, this team has changed now. So I honestly wouldn't be surprised if the Panthers actually get a win here at home. But after seeing Cincinnati return back to the way they used to be, I got to go with the Bengals.
Yeah, it would make no sense. If they go 0-4 on this one, then
it's bad. Something's
going to happen. It's going to be bad. Jacksonville and the Houston Texans. You want to talk about something going bad? Wow, man. Jacksonville, I had an can't believe it. This is one of the things, again, I went out on a limb. I'm like, hey, these guys, Doug Peterson, we've seen it before. They've got some good weapons, too. I mean, a defense, they should be able to do something better. And it's just bad all around. Like, all around. And Trevor Lawrence looks terrible, man. It's just and they're blaming each other. You know what I mean? That's the thing. Doug Peterson, now your coach. You heard about your quarterback. I said it last week, saying, oh, we just suck. You know, Doug Peterson came out and just said, you know, we suck. We're terrible. This, like, dude, well, it's on you then. Because, again, if you got the same personnel and even some more.
Pretty much.
And you guys aren't winning. That's on you then. You know, now it's got to fall on the head coach on this one. It's time for you to change something. Do something different here to change the mentality of what these teammates and everybody, the way the morale is with this team. Going into Houston, Houston, I think, is kind of like, what the hell just happened last week? Let's right the ship. We're better than this. And I think Houston's going to pull out the victory here. But Jacksonville, they've got a lot of looking at themselves here to do here.
So. Yeah, this is one of those teams where I didn't think too highly of them. I like their defense, but Trevor Lawrence, I'm just not sold anymore. I was when he came out in the draft. I'm like, oh, this guy's going to be good. This and the other thing, man, he's really has not been that guy. And he just got paid millions and millions of dollars to be the future quarterback and continue a Jaguar. So that's got to be concerning for Jacksonville even going forward. You got him locked up this year, and it's like he's not playing any better at all. Then you couple that with the fact that they're banged up. They lost right tackle Anton Harrison. His knee is considered day-to-day. His availability for this week, I expect him to play, but it is day-to-day, so they're just kind of waiting to see how it all shakes out. Gabe Davis left with a shoulder injury. He's also considered a day-to-day. I think he's going to play anyway. Usually when these day-to-day designations are out there, it's just like, yeah, they're banged up, but he's definitely going to play at the end of the week. Evan Engram, guy who's been missing the first 3 weeks of football, he's questionable to play in week four. I don't know. This guy's had hamstring injuries like his whole career, and yet another one has crept up on him. Does he play? Does he not play? Maybe they go on the air of caution and he doesn't play yet another week. So with that being said, and how not just how banged up they are, but how bad they're playing, I really don't know if you can even pick the Jaguars. Maybe all this season.
Well, right? That might be in the same boat as the Giants.
You're going against a Houston team that just got embarrassed, basically, against the Minnesota Vikings. And they want to prove to everybody, like, hey, listen, we're at home. We're not going to allow that to happen again. We're going to make a statement. And the Jaguars, unfortunately, are going to be taking the brunt of it. So I'm going to go with the Texans and C.J. Stroud to redeem themselves after last week.
All right. Now, this is another, I guess, if you want to look at it, revenge game, or what do we know about whom? And we've got the Washington Commanders going into Arizona. Ooh. Cliff Kingsbury. Ooh. Back to Arizona against Kyler Murray. He's got a lot of tidbits to tell everybody in that defense here. And Dan Quinn. Hey, listen, this is how you get them, you know? And so this is going to be an exciting matchup, just even with the way that the Arizona Cardinals have been really putting up points. I mean, they've kind of been a little bit of a surprise. You know, they're not blowing doors off people or even majorly winning, but they're doing a little bit better than the way I thought they were to an extent. I think they keep it close for a little bit, but I think I like the way, again, Jaden Daniels getting more comfortable. They're opening up the playbook. You got all those weapons still on top of it. Terry McLaurin, after last night's game, is super psyched. He couldn't talk to enough people. He couldn't bottle it. He had to go and let it all out. And so I'm on the Commanders train right now here. I'm thinking the Commanders go into Arizona, pull out a victory here, and, you know, stay up there at the top of this division.
Arizona last week, by opening up the public, it's definitely changed, you know, their mentality. It's definitely changed, like, what they're able to do offensively. And it helped the defense for once. Instead of going three and out because they're trying to, ground and pound the run, and the defense goes back out there again. Now, they've opened it up last week. I hope they continue to do so. I hope that's not a mirage just because they played the Bengals. But Cliff Kingsbury's got to keep it open and just let Jaden Daniels grow and go. Like, release the leash. Just let him rock. So I think he has to continue to do that. So Washington Commanders, I told everybody before, Jaden Daniels was one of my top quarterbacks coming out, and I'm going to stick by that. It's going to be awesome, too, to watch this matchup because you have Kyler Murray on one end and Jaden Daniels both. Can make you look stupid in the open field. Both can outrun you. Both have speed, and they both can throw the ball. But I think Jaden Daniels throws a little bit better. So just because of that and the weapons that they have in Washington, I know Marvin Harrison Jr. is there, but I'm going to go Commanders as well.
All right. Here we go. The New England Patriots and San Francisco 49ers. Patriots, again, embarrassed by the Jets, you know, they come back down to earth again. We saw a little bit of Drake May at the end of that game, but really not a whole lot. Just kind of, you know, fodder time, just fitting in a little bit, getting some plays in. San Francisco, again, having the injuries, they had a game where they kind of just let them off the hook here and let the team back in it. But, again, not really let them back in it. They had it. They needed to finish it, and they couldn't because – Matthew Stafford, he just doesn't give up. You got Sean McVay on the other side, and you can't do that with those other teams. That's another playoff team. That's one of those games in your division that you need to win. You can't just squander those types of wins away when you had it. And they're going to regret that one possibly here. But they've got the Patriots here. Patriots, they're starting to come down to earth. You know what we are, what they thought they were. You saw the offensive line make some struggles here last week. I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers to bounce back here at home.
Yeah, this is tough because the 49ers, even though they're really banged up, they were still able to make things work. You know what I mean? With Juwan Jennings and other guys that were involved. George Kittle was also missing from that lineup, by the way.
Yep.
So you can't say like, oh, well, you know, they were just missing a couple. No, they're missing almost their whole offense. Like, just add Brandon Ayuk to that tab and you don't have your starters.
Yeah, all your starters are gone.
So it's like, but this is tough. New England's got to travel to San Fran. They're going to be playing in a hostile environment, long away from home. Like, and you don't have. I'm still disappointed in the decision for New England to rock with Brissett. I think that Drake May showed flashes when he got in late in the game last week, were like, dude, just let this kid grow. Let this kid get experience. And he's definitely has the talent right now. If you put him out there, he's going to be better than Brissett easily, and he's the future. So just let him go out there and rock. I think if Drake May was to start this game, which we all know it's not going to happen, but if he was to, I think he would have given the Niners a tough problem, because Niners being banged up, not having Javon Hargrave again, and also something we didn't touch on earlier in the show, mm-hmm. is Trent Williams left that game. They're all pro left tackle. Like,
yep.
That's true, and too. What seen as the best, if not one of the best left tackles in this game today, even though he's 37 years old, still making it work. So does he return back to the lineup? Because I don't see him on the injury designation today. So I wonder if, like, they're just kind of, he's not that banged up, they're going to let him rest type of deal. But again, it's tough for the Patriots. I got to go with the Niners in this, regardless of how many guys are missing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, definitely. And all right, next up we got the Cleveland Browns and the Las Vegas Raiders, Joe.
Oh, what an ugly game. Ooh. Oh, my God. What are we going to see here?
I don't know. Do we see Aiden O'Connell come into this game?
Oh, God, I hope so. I mean, if you're a Raiders fan, like, dude, you had to be aggravated last week. You lost. I mean, yeah, you lost to the Panthers, but really you lost to a much better team with Andy Dalton at the helm. Mm-hmm. And Gardner Minshew had no answer. Like, he just didn't – it's weird because when you watch him play, he'll make some nice throws, but he doesn't push the ball down the field enough, and he always checks it down. That's really limiting that offense. When you got Devontae Adams and Jacoby Myers and Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers, your rookie, and you're not being able to find people sometimes and check it down, like, that's concerning. So I think I hope that Aiden O'Connell starts, but most likely you got to expect that Minshew's going to stay there at least this week. If that's the case, man, the Browns have a really good shot of beating the Raiders in Las Vegas. It would be another embarrassing loss for the Raiders. But again, neither team, they're both playing like crap after last mm-hmm. week's debacle. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you trust Deshaun Watson going up against the Raiders? Like, that, they still have somewhat of a pass rush, even though they lost Malcolm Kuntz for the season now, which mm-hmm. sucks. But it's like that team is still a decent defense. You know, like, I don't know, man. This one's tough for me.
I thought too, because Myles Garrett is banged up too, but he'll probably play in this game though still, right?
Yeah, I'm going to look that up right now to see if he's going to be out.
I know he's banged up. And he played in the last game, but now he's still banged up. So, not sure if he's going to make this game, but that would be a big factor.
But that thing too is, like, if he's going to continue to play like that and he's playing injured, So, I still think he could make a difference, obviously, but mm-hmm. But again, I don't know. I'm just going to say this. It's hard for me to trust Deshaun Watson right now in this Cleveland Browns team, because after so much hype in the offseason, after so much of what we thought in the offseason, like, they're definitely going to take another step up. They're going to play mm-hmm. much better this year. They've just been disappointing every single week. So I'm going to go to the Raiders now. Whether it's Gardner Minshew or not, I just have to go with them because I believe that they're going to do enough just to get the win.
Yep. I think it's going to be a tough one again. I don't know what to expect either. I know Max Crosby is going to be definitely pressuring Deshaun Watson here. And I think that could be a big factor in this game, probably the biggest factor, because how effective is Myles Garrett going to be? I mean, because, again, last week he was kind of shut down to an extent by Andrew Thomas. You know what I mean? For the most part, I think he got pressured one. But that could be the factor here, that offensive line versus a guy like that. It's tough, but you know what? I think to try and gain a game back too, I'm just going to go against you. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns on this one. How about that? If I can get it, we'll see.
Okay.
It's early. Let's go Browns. You go Raiders, right?
Raiders.
All right. Let's do it. All right. Next up, we've got the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers. It's like, again, I hope Justin Herbert was in this game, because I would have liked to see how Harbaugh handled this. Harbaugh, Andy Reid, Justin Herbert, you know, Patrick Mahomes, you know, this sounds great, but you're not going to get that. And I think this is probably going to be a shellacking, a thrumping, I think, and things like that, even though we haven't seen the Kansas City Chiefs play like that. I don't know. I think Kansas City is going to, you know, dismantle this team, I think, this week.
I don't think so.
I like the Chiefs in this one.
This divisional rivalry has never been
I know, I get it.
Side.
I get it.
The Chargers and Chiefs, you know, they always play each other tough. They always play down to the wire. It really comes down to the kickers, honestly, at the end. So I understand Herbert's not there, but this Charger team is no longer a passing team. They're not trying to, like, kill you down the field. And Taylor Heineke, it will just do enough to hit the open windows, you know, whether it be 10, 15 yards down the field. I think I give the edge to the Chargers defensive line up against the offensive line of the Chiefs. Their tackles have been struggling so far this season. They've been getting penalties. They've been holding like crazy. I know Khalil Mack is a one weapon, the one weapon you need at the end. He's still making it happen. I think this is a much closer game than people might think. I don't think the Chiefs want them out. I do have the Chiefs winning.
All right. Next up, we've got here for Sunday night, the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens. This is tough here because the Bills flying high. The Ravens, again, just fight out of going 0-3. And they've got their tails against the wall here. They're pinned against the wall. They need to win here at home in Baltimore to stay relevant in the AFC, I think, at this point, you know, to keep it going. I mean, because Buffalo, they keep rolling like this. Who's going to stop these guys? You guys.
Ravens, here's the way they did right to the Cowboys. They were able to run the ball, and that opened up everything else. If they can do that again, which I think it's going to be a harder task against the Bills defense, which, honestly, we thought was going to be a weakness of the Buffalo Bills, but they have been playing pretty solid football. So I think it's going to be a harder matchup. Can they do it? I think obviously they can. But I think it's going to come down to Lamar Jackson again. I think it's going to come down to him as a quarterback. It's going to come down to him as the mobility that he has as a quarterback to keep the defense on their heels. I think Josh Allen is better than Lamar. Passer football. He also has the mobility himself. He's like basically a linebacker running with the football.
Yep.
And this is going to be a tough matchup for both teams. But Buffalo is going into Baltimore. Make no mistake, not an easy place to play. But I think what I'm going to do with this one is I'm going to pick the Bills. I'm going to pick the Bills in this one. I think with Josh Allen's strong ability and what they've been able to do so far, I think that they steal a win in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to be a tough one here. I think the Bills have the momentum. I think the key for the Baltimore Ravens is to go back to their old kind of
run
way,
the ball.
Run the ball. You got to get Derrick Henry more involved. Keep Josh Allen and the Bills off the field, because Josh Allen's going to do the same thing too. He's going to run around and do his thing too and get it to some of these receivers here. But
if you watched the Jaguar game with the Bills, Josh Allen ran for 40 yards, but he didn't want to run
because
he has that like banged up hand. So
he has a bad hand. Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to protect it, but you know what? When your team needs you the most, you're going to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think the key there, again, is to keep that running game going. You know, wear them out, wear out that defense, extend the plays, win the time on attack or the possession game, and I think Baltimore Ravens will be able to do it. I'm going to see, and it's early here, and I think Baltimore feels the pressure. I think I'm going to go with the Ravens on this one to take the victory here at home. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills win this one. Why not? Go Bills. All right, two more games on Monday night again. Right? Yeah, I know. I hear you.
That's exactly how I decided that. Like, both teams have good defense. Both teams are playing, you know, good. Like, Bills are definitely playing good offense, but, like...
Yeah. But again, what the game showed us so far, like, you never know, right? You just never know. I think I'm just ready to watch the game, and it's how exciting it's going to be. All right, two more here. Monday night, we got the Tennessee Titans and the Miami Dolphins. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, again, Dolphins with Skylar Thompson. Ugh. Yeah, I knew they were going to lose, but they got really taken to the woodshed, too, again. And then Tennessee, again. Will Levis, dude. Yeah. Come on, man. You got to get go. You let Malik Willis show you up, boy. You know, come on. You can't do that. You were the chosen one over Malik.
That's right.
And didn't get it done. All right. So this week against a struggling Miami without their starting quarterback, can they get it done here? It is tough to win in Miami, but, you know, they need to get going here. They need to win, and they need to do it against a team like this, like the Tennessee Titans. Will Levis making mistakes, Joe?
Yeah, well, the Dolphins are going to have a new quarterback. Skylar Thompson is day-to-day with a concussion. He's been beat up. They called up Huntley from the practice squad. This is a quarterback that we said, former Baltimore Raven, who showed glimpses when Lamar left with injury. Did a pretty good job in Baltimore, was able to distribute the football, also has legs to move the ball. So I think this actually gives the Dolphins an advantage here coming into this game. Now, if they're that confident that they can plug him in as starter already after a couple weeks, then I kind of like their chances. I do think the Titans have a really good defense. They're going to limit their running game, and it's going to come down to how effective Huntley can distribute the football and make the passes count. Is going to really dictate this game, because Will Levis, we've seen him struggle so far in every game, whether it be making a poor decision or just not playing well, like last week. I'm going to go with Miami in this one, honestly. I'm going with the Dolphins in Miami to get a W.
Yeah, I mean, this one is tough, but again, I think that's what it is. You look at these two quarterbacks, and how is it going to dictate? Do you trust the guy that just coming into it, into a new team and just learning the system as best as he can and kind of – keeping it generic with Mike McDaniels or
look at Mike Willis.
Mike Willis, yeah. Exactly. And we've seen it before with Baker Mayfield with the Rams. And Will Levis has been making mistakes constantly, just looking bad this year. So I think I'm going to agree with you here, too. I think I believe in the coaching and the rest of the talent that's on the Miami Dolphins. They just needed a better quarterback to steer the ship. And I'm going to go with them here on this one. All right, and finally, the Seattle Seahawks and the Detroit Lions here. This is going to be a tough matchup, I think. Detroit's going to give them a run for his money. I know, you know, fans are going to be amped up again. You know about the 12th man in Seattle, but here you go. Detroit, they get loud now, too, in the Motor City. It's going to be tight. Good defense on Seattle, but I think I'm going to give the edge to the Lions here.
Yeah, I mean, this game right here is yet another game in my mind where I wouldn't be surprised if either team wins. Seattle's playing at a really high level. They're playing good. We're seeing Geno Smith return to what he was 2 years ago, and it's definitely got to be reassuring for Seattle Seahawks fans when they thought it was dismal last season where he just wasn't playing good football. But now Seattle's back. Their defense is the highlight. Like, their defense is all over the football field. They got a crazy secondary. Good pass rush. It's a lot to like there. And also their offense. I don't know if Kenneth Walker is going to be back yet in the lineup. I think he'll be out yet another week. So it looks like Zach Charbonnet to the rescue as the starter. I like Detroit too. They're home. Man, their fans are so awesome. Like, to have a fan base like that, one of the great fan bases that have been behind them throughout decades of losing. And now they're finally getting rewarded, having a competitive team and a winning team. I love both teams, honestly. If I could pick both winners, I would. I just say they both win. Let's just not even play the game. They both get a W. But I think I'm going to go on the opposite end. I think I'm going to go with Seattle entering Detroit and getting the better. I still think this game right here is going to be an awesome game to watch, and it's going to go back and forth. I don't necessarily think it'll be a shootout, but it's going to be like they score, the other team scores. Like, but I'm going to go with Seattle in the end.
All right, there you go. There's the picks for the week. Hopefully we do better than the last couple have been, you know, at least last week. You know, last week was probably our worst so far. Yeah, we never know, week to week. You know, we're excited to watch the game, see what happens here with these guys. There's a lot of teams that kind of got to see what they're made of right now to move forward, and other teams to see what they are going to do looking forward to next year, even at this point already. So thank you so much.
Jim, too early.
Yeah, I hear you. I feel like almost it's like if we were looking at the season now, this would almost be the first quarter, right, of the season. You know, we could do first quarter grades, report card grades for the teams, you know, if the first quarter are in or something like that, after this week or something. Might be a funny segment to do. But thank you so much for joining us. Joe, tell these guys one more time where they can find more shows like ours.
Oh, very easy. You can head over to our website, grumblingsmedia.com. There you can check out any political, entertainment, sports out there. They also have articles on the website. Make sure you check that out. You can also do us a huge favor and keep growing our channel. We are growing like crazy, guys.
Yeah, dude.
Head over to YouTube. Hit that subscribe button on Grumblings Media. Make sure you hit the thumbs up. Make sure you comment down below and share it as well. And you can also check us out at rumble.com and anywhere you get your podcasts. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We definitely want you to be more active because we are live when we do our show, and we will react to any question, any comment, any opinion, anything at all. So we'll see you guys next week, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. See you guys then.